Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Good morning, everyone. I believe this is the sermon topic for today, where we are taking from Mark chapter 8, verse 27 to 29, when the Lord asks us, right, but do you know who I am? I begin with this common story. You know, it's been raining of late in KL, right? So recently I was informed a man and woman took a Grab share, and it was getting late, it was getting dark, and it was gonna be raining very heavily. So when the driver alighted, both the man and woman, who were common strangers at this destination, the woman quickly alighted first, right? Only to find that the man was following her, and it was raining, so she quickly, you know, hastened her pace. Only to find that the man also hastened his pace. And after a while, because it's raining, it's getting dark, the lady in KL feels not safe. So she was running very briskly to the point of running. Lo and behold, the man was also walking very briskly to the point of running. At that moment, her spider sense tells her something is very wrong. She saw her house at the end. She made a dash for it. And the man also made a dash. So, like in true fashion as a Malay, she said, you know, tolong, tolong, tolong. And when she was screaming so loud, the husband came out, right? And straight away as she reached the house, she saw the husband, she had courage. She turned back and she asked the man, who are you? Who are you? And the man, you know, was also very clear to ask her back, who are you? Then after that, the woman said, no, I asked you first, who are you? Then the man, after that, he caught his breath because it was raining so heavily and it was getting so dark. He was all drenched. He said, woman, you don't need to ask me who I am. I just want to ask you, why do you take my umbrella from the car? So, most of us here know who we are. I'm not going to dabble that topic because that, I was told, is a heavy topic by itself when you want to figure out how you are, right? The experts will tell you that. Today, I think we want to hear about the question Jesus is asking us, you know, but who do you say I am? So, jang, 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 yours truly went to an AI bot and asked this question. And lo and behold, the AI bot can give me this response, who Jesus is. And then, of course, I couldn't succumb to the next temptation, right? What was the next question I asked the AI bot? Write me a sermon on Mark chapter 8, verse 27, 29. Yeah. All this was under supervision of my wife, don't you worry. And let me tell you, there's a whole string over here. Within seconds, everything was populated. But don't worry, Pap and Mom, I did not use a single word of it. It's evidenced by the imperfection that you hear, right? But golly, this super aggregator tool, within seconds, things come out. Yeah. So let's start off today with prayer. Father God, I want to thank you that you are our Father God. Lord, you take our imperfect lives and you make it perfect when we submit it to you at the cross. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. Even though this is a familiar passage, may you stir in our hearts what Jesus meant when he asked, Lord, his disciples, who do you say I am? Inspire us, Lord, and help us to respond to you. We know we are, each of us here, we are unique. Each of us here are in different journeys of our life. But Lord, we come here to listen at your feet. We love you and in we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, yeah, from this part onwards, nothing is from AI, okay? Who was Mark in the Bible? Yeah, he was clearly not tagged as an apostle. Yeah, he was not clearly tagged as a disciple, right? He was not one of the Lord's inner 12. But clearly, he was very close to the disciple to be able to record all these accounts of the Lord. And Mark actually played a vital role as a missionary in the early church. What we know about Mark is the shortest gospel book, right, with 16 chapters. So this one not from AI, What I did is I found out Matthew, there are basically 28 chapters, Luke 24 chapters, John 31 chapters, and in Mark 16 chapters. So I did do some research. Okay. Now this is a familiar verse, as I've often told you all. So if you look at the narrative, okay, the narrative starts with the who's who, right? Before this part in verse 27, it speaks about the Lord, feeding 4,000 men. How he turned 7 loaves and a bit of fishes to 7 basketfuls of leftover. 4,000 were fed. So very clearly, if you look at this, to the people who were there at that time, I think it would be so clear. The Lord would have been the teacher. The Lord would have been a prophet. The Lord would have been the provider. Then the next narrative speaks about the Pharisees, the mighty Pharisees, the lords of the day, right, in the religious circle, who came to question the Lord. They came intentionally to test him. And very clearly, the outcome was our Lord, he is the boss man, right? You can never surprise him. He's always one up. You ask, you want to test him with a sign? I don't feel the need to give you a sign. So no sign will be given. But at that viewpoint, the Pharisees viewed our Lord as a religious, as a false teacher, and they're just waiting to expose him. Different view altogether from a different group. And then there's the healing of the blind man at Bethesda. Yeah, and the man was healed because people brought him. You know, he begged Jesus to touch him. And this, actually, as you read scriptures, is a place where a lot of healing took place. But the people then knew that the Lord can. And look at the special outcome of this. Our Lord, so God never works one way, one style all the time. He is fresh at all times. In this particular instance, the Lord took the man out of the village. And yes, okay, spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him. And the Lord later on checked with him. The Lord healed him. The Lord restored eyesight. And the Lord gave strict orders to this man not to re-enter the village. So this is something totally unconventional, right? If you come up for healing, I guarantee you, PGSC leaders will not spit on you, right? But there's a topic another day, right? But the Lord was just so fresh in his way. And check this out. He didn't just heal. He checked with the man, and he was very clear, right? That I don't need all the extra publicity, right? Just be faithful in your walk. Very, very clearly, if you were the blind man, you would know this to be a godly man who was the healer. And it all comes up to the moment, right? And you can imagine, right, disciples who have seen so many of these miraculous acts, so many of these wonderful acts, and the Lord in his inner circle asked his disciples, who do you say I am? Right? And of course, the wider disciples were quick to just report, you know, what other people said, which is, you know, incarnation of probably John the Baptist, Elijah and prophet. But Peter, the apostle Peter, breaks character, right, by having that eyeball-to-eyeball moment with the Lord to say that you are the Messiah. Wow. So Jesus asks, who do you say I am? And can you see that at different points of time, different people, they view the Lord very, very differently? So when Jesus asks, who do you say I am? Is our Lord a narcissist? He just wants to hear good things about himself. Because, hey, God, you are God already, what? If you already know the answer, why you still ask us? But oftentimes, as God, the question is actually not meant for him. It's actually meant for us. I think it was a very spiritual moment when Peter answered so boldly, when Peter answered so differently from the rest of the disciples. And likewise, for all of us here who believe the Lord as our Lord and God, to those of us who have spent scores of years in Sunday school, or those of us who attend Bible study, that answer to us, simple, God. Yes, you are the Messiah. But our God, again, is a God who always analyzes the heart. Our God is one who looks through the facade. He knows our heart through and through. And I will tell you later how this simple answer can be a difficult response when you're in a different life journey. So who was Jesus? Or rather, who is Jesus to you? Do you know that people from other faiths believe very much in Jesus also? Even other faiths document his return. The part about him being about the Lord, you know, being around, consuming oxygen, that's very clear. He existed, right? And people from other faiths say that, yeah, they even believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary, yeah, that he is a prophet of God. And people from other faiths believe he will return to earth before the day of judgment to restore justice and defeat the false Messiah or the Antichrist. They even believe Jesus performed miracles. These are our brothers and sisters from other faiths, mind you. So how do we internalize this? Because I've learned in my faith journey, as a three-decade young believer, that there's just so much I can contain. I can sit here being cozy, listening to sermons, going to classes, doing things, but it takes a life moment to shake me to see whether what I believe is what would really resonate in my heart. Also, whenever we read familiar passage, it is so evident that the Holy Spirit is alive when we ask Holy Spirit for a fresh insight. And it pays to hang around with kids because kids think of the coolest thing. You know? So when I ask kids, you know, if you read this part, yeah, they ask simple things like, hey, what else did they eat for the rest of the 3 days? I say, it's not documented, lah. But just because not documented, I don't think they fasted for the entire 3 days. I don't have an answer for that. Yeah, and then that part about the Pharisees, you know, some kids were saying, why can't the Lord just show a miracle on the spot, win the whole crowd over, save thousands of people? I don't have an answer for that. Okay, then the part about healing a blind man, you don't have to be a child, right? Oh, why did the Lord spit? I don't have an answer for that. But the last part, yeah, why Peter? Why was he so bold? So I guess that is the interesting part for us as believers. Yeah. May our faith journey be such that as we read familiar passages, we allow the Holy Spirit to ask us the whys, and of course, after that, go and discover, you know, the answers to it. So a quick promo, yeah, for those of you in the church, there is the Christian Education Department, which Pastor Yu Yong is leading. The classes are there for a reason. But back to this moment. Yeah, because I think the narrative is clear. So who, okay, that is not Jesus. Okay, so what I'm about to tell you, okay, I better put it first because I can see some of the people getting distracted with his face. What I'm about to tell you is a tale about a tooth, and I promise to tell you the tooth and nothing but the tooth. As a child, I grew up being quite blessed, right? I visited dentists since I could remember. My parents make sure, you know, you go do it, right? So I have never had any profound fear visiting the dentist all this while. And I believe it was because the dentist that we found, our family dentist in the 90s, he was actually a craftsman, also a very good salesperson. Because every year when I used to visit this dentist, of course, I recline in his chair. Halfway around, he just his inspection. He would always, you know, raise the chair up. And then after that, he would say that, Mr. Kam, calling a teenager Mr. Kam. Okay, Mr. Kam, do you smoke? I said, no. I said, I've got good news for you. You've got a wonderful set of teeth. Ha, 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 ha. You know, then he begins his work. Every year, he does the same thing. And it feels great as a patient, right, to go in, you know, get your teeth. Your dentist reassures you. You go in, pay, that's it. Everything is going well, fine and dandy, until I reached my 30s. Because I found out that not just the hair was receding, apparently when I started to visit the dentist at that point in time, I also began to have receding gums. Apparently I've been brushing my tooth the wrong way. I don't know what else will recede over the years. So to the elders and uncles and aunties, you don't have to tell me. Let me discover it as time comes. But Recently, when I visited a dentist, it was no longer that calm moment when I go in, right, and then the dentist brings me up and tells me the good news, saying that you've got some issues, right? So at this point in time, the dentist actually told me that, hey, it looks like you would need a root canal. I can see some of you, automatically putting your hand there. You feel the pain, right? And I tell you, it's such a bad branding. Although I've never gone, I'm like, oh my goodness, what has happened? And what made it worse is when I was given this diagnosis, I was with my wife and my youngest daughter, right? And my youngest daughter had to do an extraction, a slight complication where some part of her teeth were in the gums. So here I am, right? Papa was trying to assure her to say that, don't worry, trust God, do this and all that. So Erin was a champ, right? Just a bit of a tear, but she went through it. Dentist said, good job. Until my time came and the dentist, I thought when I go to the more experienced dentist, he can somehow tell me that I don't have a need for root canal. But true enough, as he sprayed the air, it was so sensitive. So he said, you do need a root canal. And what happened is I literally was shaking in fear. I don't know how to explain this. Up to today, I cannot reconcile this fact because it's not like I've never been to a dentist. But when he just told me that you need to do a root canal, I literally shook. And he could see this 40-year-old guy, shaking with the youngest daughter there. And he was very ginger with me. He said, you know what? We don't have to do this now. And I thought I was a man of faith. I said that, can it disappear or not, given time? He said, you can try to pray, but it doesn't just disappear. So I was appreciative. He gave me time. So he said that, you know what, Mr. Kam, we'll just do this temporary feeling thing, right? It should last. Think about it. Come back to me when you're ready. But I said, Kam, how long can it be? He said, could be weeks, can be months, but it needs to be done. So throughout this period, right, I cannot tell too many people because it's weird, right? 40 years, a guy being so concerned. But all kinds of fear. I don't know why. I've been so used to having whatever apparatus inside me and all that, but this time around, during the inspection, each time that driller goes in, that sound, everything is magnified many, many times. And it doesn't help that when I go, I thought, I look at some of the older people that I know and ask them, have you done a root canal? All of them say, oh, no, it's bad and all that, right? And it just didn't help me. But in front of my daughter, because she had to go for future treatment, I had to say that, yeah, we trust God, we trust God. And in my mind, I was just telling God, if you can just heal me of this, it's a miracle. It's a miracle which I will come up in front of the church. I want to go on Instagram, I want to go on Telegram, whatever gram, to declare, because it's just a very real fear to me. I don't know why. So the day came when I needed to do the next checkup. So saw the dentist again, nice guy, props me down, and as he inspects, he says, oh, actually it looks like it has hole. Yeah. So I said, oh, does it mean that I don't need to do it? He said, no. With root canal, you have to do it. It's just a matter of time. So he said, but it's good news. It's holding better than what I thought. So you can actually you don't have to do it today, because he could see me shaking. I literally was shaking still, that fear. I wear a jacket whenever I visit a dentist nowadays. I don't know why. I just need to be comforted and assured. So dentist actually told me, Mr. Kam, you can actually not do something today. You can come and see me a few months' time. But how do I go around telling some of my friends, and especially my children, my youngest daughter, that Papa was very ready to do root canal, but Papa chickened out? So at that point in time, I felt it was a Kairos moment for me. I felt that it was a faith moment for me. Because truth to be told, I didn't want anything further to be inside my mouth. I wanted to just, my human mind would be, doctor, thank you, I'll see you later. But I cannot reconcile to the fact here is Teck Lim, right, trying to tell people how faithful God is. And over one little tooth, he dares not do anything about it. So the doctor, he knows me. The dentist knows me. He looked at me. I looked at him for a while. He said, "You're sure?" I said, "I will do it." They said, "You sure?" I said, "Yes." And after that, he gave me a disclosure about thing to sign on. I said, okay, I'll just sign that off. So here's a public service announcement on behalf of the professional dentists in our midst. Dentists are here to save our tooth. Dentists are here to do what they need to do so that in the future, things won't get bad and worse. Truth to be told, ladies and gentlemen, I did not have any pain at all. You want to clap for the dentist? You can. But you should clap for God. I did not have any pain at all. Just a mild discomfort. Of course, when the injection had to go through, I did not experience any pain at all. And at that point in time, as I was finished, right, I keep on trying to just pinch myself because I'm not sure what's going to be next, right? Never had a root canal treatment before. At the end of it, when the dentist said, "We're done for today," I could not believe it. Of course, I was praying. And my Bluetooth set, I was like Christian music playing in the background. I know people are praying, especially children. I got children praying for me. So at that point in time, I was just so thankful. I actually told the dentist, they're all master, right? I said, "Doctor, can I hug you?" He looked at me for a while. He said, "Sure." And that's what resulted in this picture, right? He said, "Okay." Yeah, it was a Friday morning. I still remember. I was just so thankful. You might laugh, and I don't mind if you laugh at this, but I'm here to tell you, some of you might have a similar experience, not with root canal, okay? By the way, dentists, please rebrand it. Don't call it root canal. Call it like a root filling treatment or whatever. Some of you might have something which you think that is very small. Don't want to trouble people. You know, when I ask some people in the board to pray over the tooth also, I like, but in the end, just send only. Some of us might have that. The Lord knows the fear. So up to today, I share it in public. It was a very real fear for me. I was trembling on the dental chair. So some of you might have something similar. Please know that the Lord knows your fear is real. It is not realistic to say you shouldn't feel like this. If the fear is there, it's real. So to some of my friends who laugh, I said, "That's my story, okay? That's my tooth story. It's the tooth." I will be remiss if I also do not tell you the next story to tell you that during this period, the period of waiting, right, I had the opportunity to connect with a sister in Christ from our church. Karen and I found out that this particular sister had a rude awakening when she found out about her cancer. So at that moment in time, we thought, you know, we're going to at least just reach out to this sister and her husband and just encourage her. And you know, God, the Holy Spirit works in such ways, they ended up encouraging me instead. They encouraged me instead. I introduced to you the Chongs, right? With their permission, I'm sharing what I'm about to share to you today. So everyone is a star, in case the Chongs are listening, but your mother today, Dr. Angela Chong, is the biggest star, okay? Especially, yeah? So caveat to the three girls, don't come and ask me question. She is the biggest star for what I'm about to share. With Angela's permission, she says that she did go through a root awakening. I better make sure I read word for word what she told me. Yep. She says that it was very sudden. And it was very depressing when she was first diagnosed with breast cancer at stage 4. You know, what would have been a normal routine check, it turns out to be stage 4, due to the fact that it's even spread to her lymph nodes and the bone mets. And this she found out on her birthday in November 2022. So this was something very recently. So she said that during that time, Angelina and her husband Chong learned a lot by researching and seeking few opinions on her condition and medical options available. And she needed to do that within the next 100 hours because it's very insidious. You need to take action on the cancer. The tests and scans were done since September 2022 after she felt, you know, that the lump, but she had no pain, no symptoms. She acted upon a surgery on the 20th of February. She did it under daycare, and she was discharged under the care and observation of her sister and brother-in-law, who are trained medical doctors. Her daughter, her mom came to cook for a few days. Her eldest daughter, Gloria, accompanied and cared for her in the ward and at home. She's begun to take hormonal and targeted treatments for the last 3 months. We praise God. It has been very effective for her condition, and there's been good results shown in her recent PET scan. And she said, during this journey, she has consoled, she has consulted and prayed, you know, by many people from US to Korea. She gives credit to her siblings, her mom, her husband, her kids, her extended family, which includes the church, right, for the support. And she said, very appreciative for the CG, especially three churches. There's PJFC, there's Cape Ho Road Baptist Church, Singapore, Hornsby Baptist Church, Australia. And get this, when I was trying to encourage my dear sister, she was the one who amplified her encouragement many times when she said, in my journey, I've also consoled and encouraged and reached out to many of her MBA students and her colleague who was recently diagnosed with cancer. So you encouraged, but she encouraged you in a part. And thanks to her, I also summoned up enough courage with that tooth. Yeah. I didn't tell her about the tooth, so today you know Angelina, yeah. And of course, in the weeks that followed, yeah, there's been many prayer points, and she said very clearly, she says that please, as a church today, since we're sharing this with you as a church, you know, the results and scans so far show very blessed, good condition. But she says to still pray for wisdom on the next best step, right? So I had this to ask her, right? I said, Angelina, I mean, you, here's my tooth, but in your life experience, who do you say Jesus is to you? Yeah? And we're not looking for theoretical answers. So Angelina can confidently say, at this point in time, very clearly, God controls my life, and it is assuring that He is ahead of us. He knows everything, even though we don't know. And He knows how much I can bear. I repeat that. He knows how much I can bear. He wants me to complete certain tasks on earth, and I just need to obey. Wow. I also, of course, asked her dear husband, Chong. I mean, very often time when it comes to medical challenges, it's not just the person going through it, but also the loved one. So Chong being Chong, right, being a bit more quiet, but when I asked him throughout this whole period, Chong, who is Jesus to you? And our dear brother can clearly say, Jesus is everything to me. I personally experience His peace, His love, His grace, and His mercy throughout the journey with Angelina. Every day, we are still learning to pray and listen to Him. Wow. Who is Jesus to you, brothers and sisters? He is definitely more than just a holy man, a man who walked this earth. He is much, much more than it. But the beautiful challenge in life is not just knowing the right answers in the heart. When faced with challenges, and all of us here will go through challenges, we have to be able to answer the same question our Lord asked His disciples that night. Who am I to you? In preparing for this message, I'm trying to wrestle with the point that, oh, to preach to the lovely people in PGFC, most already have known the Lord for decades. Most are learned. Most have gone to Sunday school, to CED. What is it, Lord, you know, that we can amplify further? It's a very familiar passage. So God somehow reminded me of this tooth experience, you know. So I tell my friends this proudly, say, yeah, have a laugh at me, but I hope at the end of the day you can see, despite this just being one little tooth, you know, my God met me and my God exceeded what I would ever expect. Really no pain. Yeah, really no pain. And I think, as I talked to my dentist later on and some dentist friends here, they said it's also because I acted on it there and then. So a bit of a spin here. Apparently, if you wait until it festers and everything all gets to the other part of the nerve, it can be uncomfortable. So again, public service, another PSA on behalf of your dentist, go do your treatments early. But that's also how things are in this life, isn't it? If there are things which are festering in our lives, which you know which is not right, and the Lord illuminates or the Lord brings to memory, you have an opportunity to get it tackled right then with Him, and not let it fester. So to the point that I'm asking, that I asked just now, right? What is the message that the Lord wants to share with us in this familiar passage? I think it's very clearly to know who Jesus is. And to me, and I think to scores of you over here, even in online, we can say that God is ever dependable all the time. And we can call on Him at all times. No one will dispute this in this hall. That's the fact, right? God is dependable at all times. Call on Him. Who is Jesus? He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my God. But this morning, I want to invite you to think like a child. Remember that part just now on the verses, right? Yeah. This part earlier on, how children look at things. Yeah. Ever wonder why the Lord always encourages us to have childlike faith? So this morning, rather than do the standard, you know, in a while's time, and I'm prompting the worship team, in a while's time, you'll be getting up. Yeah, you'll be getting up. You will get up. Okay. So rather than do the conventional, when the worship team comes up, we play a song, we feel emotive, and then we ask for the altar call, and then you come. We can still do that. But I think you need to have your truth moment with the Lord right now. I hope that as I was talking, as you're laughing, you know, you can laugh at me, I don't mind, laugh at my expense. But I hope it's not just entertainment for you this morning. I'm quite certain each of us here have got a certain fear. I mean, you can say, Lim, you 30 years still got fear, fear over one tooth. I said, yes. Up to today, I cannot explain why, but it was so real to me. So each of you here, those listening, if you have that fear or concern which is looming in your mind, why don't you have that courage moment with God right now? Why don't, just like what I did, right? I could have chosen to delay it, but at that point in time, I said, then, doctor, I want to do this today, this morning. That was, to me, a courage moment. There is something supernatural that happens whenever we obey God in faith. And you must know, each time the church leadership ask everyone to come for altar call, it's not because we have got a KPI. Yeah? Oh, the more crowd we have, the more bonus. Okay? Yeah. There's none of that. It's because we realize there is something supernatural that happens when we take the leap of faith. Truth to be told, today, I would be preaching a very different message if I've chosen to delay my root canal. Probably something else. Oh, and by the way, when I came out, I felt God assured me so much when He said that, Tek Lim, you've known me for 30 over years. Trust me for more. So I was like so thankful until I said, oh Lord, more root canals? You know, so He has not answered me that, but I just relish in the fact that, God, I trust You for more of my life's adventures. Okay. So before the musician play, because I don't want to make this an emotive thing, right? But my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and to those even visiting us for the first time, if you have a fear that is looming in your mind, which doesn't make sense to others, but it's very real to you, you raise up your hand where you're seated as a symbol to God, as that courage moment to say, God, it doesn't make sense. I don't know how to say it, but God, I want You to meet me spiritually. You do that because it's between you and God. And that's the heart and cry for us as believers. We can come in and out. We hear the same message. We do the same songs. We'll feel good. But what is the Lord challenging us to do extra? What is the act of faith that you, only you can do. I mean, God is there, right? But if I didn't choose to tell my dentist to say, I want to do this today, actually I said, yes, I want to do this today, it would have been a very different experience. So the Lord is waiting to bless. The Lord is waiting to meet you at your point in need. And mind you, in this church, we firmly believe, if you believe in God, there will be problems. We do not subscribe to the fact that, when you believe, money will come in well, your health will be good. I mean, all those are blessings, but we firmly believe life will throw its curveballs. Life will be filled with its challenges. But whether we're going to weather that through with the Lord, that's for us to also respond. So sometimes when I hear kids sing, right, with Christ in a vessel, we can smile at a storm. When you really go through a storm, you realize how profound those simple words is. I've come to the end of my conclusion. To me, I can tell you at this point in time, it's very clear. God is ever dependable. I can call on Him at all times, you know, and it's further exemplified through this experience. I'll give you a minute, you know, and where you are, you know, to be able to just come to God. And if you do have that, you want God to meet you, you just lift up your hands. I want to make sure I don't want to do this with the lights low, with music playing in the background. Nothing emotive about this, but this is a moment of faith. Father God, Lord, may you bless, Lord, what has been spoken from your word. It's a very familiar passage. And Lord, oftentimes when we come into church in, out, we can be familiar, and it's good to be familiar, but there are times, Lord, we need to do what is unfamiliar, what is possibly even fearful. We need to face it, Lord. And right this morning, God, I'm closing my eyes, Lord. But your eyes are seeing. This act of faith that my brothers and sisters in this hall, online, to whoever who want to bring up their fears, Lord, I pray that you give them boldness. It doesn't make sense because some would think that, hey, this is between me and God. I don't need to do this. But it's very clear something supernatural happens. There's an opportunity for faith to happen whenever we respond out of a period of discomfort. I trust God. There are hands lifted up to you saying that, God, I need you. I'm going through a challenging period right now. No one quite understands it. In fact, it might be silly. But Lord, to you it is not. So God, for the hands that are up, be it here or online, meet the needs. Assure, Lord, the hearts belonging to these hands, that indeed you will see them through. Much like how you help our sister Angelina. And Lord, there are scores of people, Lord. Father God, teach us to obey you. Teach us to be faithful. Teach us, Lord, to savor you, Lord, in our life journey. In your very precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.